And the Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked the question, where is the one who is born King of the Jews? We have come to worship him. It's a fascinating story, and just as we're beginning, probably in most of our homes, to put away our Christmas decorations, actually lots of churches throughout the world are just beginning to worship. And that's because, of course, there are different traditions about when we should begin and end Christmas, and it's difficult to say really, but the most important thing is that we do celebrate the birth of our Lord. And the interesting thing about this particular story of the visit of the Magi is that they came to worship him. And we're going to think about this story for a little bit this morning. It's a story that captures the imagination and hearts and minds of many people, and has done for many centuries, because we don't know much about them, and we don't know much about them after their visit. But all we know is that they came to do something specific, which was to worship the one who is born King of the Jews. G.K. Chesterton once said this. He said, there's a road from the eye to the heart that does not go through the intellect. And I suppose when you think about it, in the 21st century, everything within us screams against such a seemingly preposterous idea that we can actually manage to do something without having to justify it and trying to work it out intellectually. And actually, when it comes down to it, when we think about the things of God, you can't intellectualize it too much. It begins with a step of faith. Reason and intellect, as G.K. Chesterton suggests, will not unlock the vast store out of treasures which are in God's possession for us. Only revelation will enable us to see the God who has created us. And only an epiphany, a kind of seeing, will enable us to know the God who appeared, as it were, in Christ, both to the wise men, to the shepherds, and others significantly afterwards. And only through the Spirit of God within our lives will we be able to see who Jesus is and believe in him as we should. And it's this kind of experience out of nowhere, really, that led the wise men to their own epiphany, the seeing of who God is. And ironically, that was actually through an art which was forbidden in the Old Testament, and it still is forbidden, that of stargazing, that of astrology. Astrology, horoscopes, and all that. Our newspapers are still full of them today, and people read them avidly to see what tomorrow or next week or this year will bring for them. And I notice outside of Marks and Spencer's this year in Truro, Acora had his customary spot for people to go and check out their future. And it is a kind of curiosity about the future which still holds a tremendous attraction for many people. And it was so for the Magi. They studied the stars to see what was going to happen. And isn't God amazing? And isn't God good that he shows his love and his grace towards these Magi? And it's true in the way in which he works with every human being. That despite the fact that they were doing something which the Old Testament, therefore God, forbade and continues to do, God reveals something of himself right there in the midst of their muddles, their mistakes, their misery, and all the misunderstandings of how they were to access the God who had called them. God uses our circumstances in extraordinary ways that we can't even begin to imagine. He begins with where we are, and he takes us to where we need to be. And that's even when we're making the mistakes that we all tend to make in our lives. So the Magi's first glimpse that God was doing something significant in the world was the rising of a star. We saw his star, they said, when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Something within them was beginning to work, and it was God himself, of course, and leading them to that journey and to that place where they would bow the knee before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Ironically, once again, of course, all kinds of speculation continue to exist about the rising of that star. Scientists have done their work and to see what it was all about, and was it possible that it happened in that time? But that kind of detracts from what it's all about. The miracle is not the sign, but rather the miracle was the sign of the Messiah to come. And that's what it was all about, the Messiah who was to come. And so for the Magi, the rising of the star in the east was the beginning of their epiphany, their seeing God. The beginning of seeing God. All of you will have had a beginning of when you first began to think about the things of God. It might have been when you were really young, and there may be no time at which you have not thought about him. But nevertheless, there will have been some kind of beginning. And it may be that your parents helped you in that process. It may be all kinds of other things. But there will have been some kind of beginning. And so in this story today, we find the wise men on journey. We use the word journey so much these days. We're on a journey. We're on a journey. Well, of course, we are actually spiritually on a journey. They were on a journey of searching. A journey of searching, of longing, and even expecting. But what they would actually find as they began this journey would not be smooth or simple, but it would be a beginning, something that would lead them somewhere, and ultimately to the worship of Christ. In their searching, they would find one born as King of the Jews. And that's significant that it says that here. They're not looking for one who would become the King of the Jews subsequently, but one who was born the King of the Jews. And that's why Herod was so interested, excited, and eventually of murderous intent. How did they know that? They saw the star rising. They had a prompt to do, to go and search him out. But how did they know that he was born as one King of the Jews? Presumably they'd heard some of the stories that were being told about the Messiah who was to come, and they would have read it. But we're not sure how they understood the significance of this royal birth to such an extent that they were willing to risk their lives and to seek him out for all they were worth. It seems to me that this is not about intellect, but revelation. We can read all the stories, and many people do over many years. They can read the stories about the coming of the wise men, about God being born in Christ all those 2,000 years ago. We can read them intellectually, but there has to be a point of revelation. And that's something God alone can do. We can open up a human heart to the understanding of his presence, either in a situation in the midst of the muddle and mess of their lives, or whatever that might be. But he begins to work on hearts and minds to bring them to that place of faith. And that begins the journey that people then set out on. Well-known actor David Suchet came to a faith just through reading a Bible in his hotel room. And he was reading the book of Romans and other the New Testament letters at the time. And you know what actors are like, they're away for weeks and weeks of the year. And so he picked up his Bible and began to read. And God revealed himself to David Suchet through his reading of Scripture. Just took reading. Isn't that an amazing story? And John Wesley, who was already a significant preacher in the world and was working in America, had come to the end of himself, actually, and began to realize that somehow there was something missing in his life. And he became almost in despair. He says that he did not have the faith to continue to preach, and he wanted to pack it all in. He felt there was no fruit from his ministry, and he'd had enough. Peter Bowler, a Moravian friend, counseled him and said, preach faith till you have it. And then because you have it, you will then preach faith. So John Wesley began to act on this advice. And while visiting a prisoner, he led a prisoner to Christ by preaching faith in Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins. That prisoner was immediately converted. You see, God can do these things to the most amazing of people. And it's revelation. So all those years that John Wesley had been struggling, even though he was a man of God, he needed something more. He needed the presence of God in his life completely and utterly. John Wesley then went on to make a study of the New Testament and found to his astonishment that the longest recorded delay in salvation was actually 3 days recorded, while the Apostle Paul waited for his eyes to be open. That's a long gap. You know, and some people, it will take days, sometimes it will take years. Some people will come around and around to that point and leave, and then they'll come back again. And God continually works away at individuals because he loves people so much that he wants them to be in the kingdom. But it's not about intellect, it's about revelation. And God alone can do that thing. At the end of his studies, John Wesley went to a meeting at Aldersgate. It's the famous meeting. We all know the story, probably. And someone was reading Martin Luther's preface to the book of Romans. And it was at that point that his heart was strangely warmed. Something changed within him. He began to understand the significance of all that God had done in the world and was doing. His heart was strangely warmed. The Magi, as they came to seek out the Christ child, realized that they needed to pay homage to this child king. They knew that they had to bow their knee to Jesus in worship. And once they settled on the Messiah's birth, nothing distracted them from the goal of finding him. I think that's what happens in life, that God, he just opens just a little door in people's lives, and then they begin the journey, and they hopefully seek and find him for themselves and bow the knee for themselves to him. It's what we all have to do. Sometimes we have to come back to that place again and again. Always, though, we have to bow our knee to him. What did they find in the manger? I think they found acceptance of their visit, both from Mary and Joseph, but also from God, who somehow did something within them, and they gave their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, which in themselves were highly significant, revealing something of Christ's future, his life, his ministry, his death, and even his resurrection. The Magi sought the Christ. We have come to worship him, they said to Herod. And eventually, of course, when they found him, we find that one of the first things that they did was to bow the knee in worship. That's the place that we all have to come to each and every day of our lives. And as we do that, something special happens within us too, because God seeks us out and begins to work his wonders in our hearts, and all the treasure of God's amazing storehouse becomes open to us as we allow him to work in our lives in this particular way. But it begins with worship and revelation. I think the Magi also had glimpses into a broken and fragmented world which the Saviour has come to heal, because right at the outset of their journey they come across this man who only wanted to destroy those who threatened his kingdom, King Herod. And he was trying to trick them into giving away into information about where he might be, sent them off to find him so they could come back and tell him of where Jesus was. We know that as we begin this journey and as we continue this journey, it's not straightforward. And there will be obstacles, all kinds of obstacles in our way. Matters which will try to bring us to that place of saying, I've had enough, just like John Wesley, I can't cope with this any longer. And sometimes it will feel like we're in a battle. Well, actually we are. And we need God even more as we continue in that journey with the Lord in our lives. We need him so much. And at the times when things are really tough, that is not the time to run away. That is the time to bow the knee again to the God who has made us and who loves us and who knows us completely. It's very interesting that Justin Welby, in one of his addresses over the new year, was saying that he realised that God knew him completely and God knew him deeply. In fact, he went on to say that God actually knew him more deeply than his own family, his own wife. That's an interesting thing to reflect upon, that God knows us so well. The psalmist talks about the fact that while we sit or before we rise, before a word is on our tongue or on our lips, he knows it completely. God knows us. He knows the things about ourselves that we don't like about ourselves. Which is a slightly scary place to be, except for it's a safe place to be because God is in it. And the reason he brings before us and before ourselves and before him the things that we get wrong is because he wants to help us, to restore us and to heal us. And to be in that place which the prophet Isaiah speaks about, where we should be able to arise and shine, for the glory of the risen Lord is upon us. God loves us so completely that he must know us completely to bring us to that place. I think the Magi had a glimpse of some of these things, but it was something that they would learn perhaps subsequently in later life. All of us have something to bring to the Christ child also, to our Lord and Saviour. We bring ourselves. We bring ourselves and our worship, and we offer our lives, our souls and beings as living sacrifices, as Paul speaks of elsewhere. And we need to do that and to lay our lives before him as the one who knows us completely. And as we do that, so we begin to allow God to reveal even more of himself to us. Sometimes we will say, but we don't know him well enough. Well, there are no shortcuts in this. It takes time. It takes time in his presence to give each moment of each day to him, to pray to him, and to ask him to speak to us. We need him to open himself to us. And to do that, we have to open ourselves to him. And as we do that, we see his love for us in a way in which no one else can actually love us in the same way. So as we begin this new year together, we do so with Jesus. It's his year. It's the year of our Lord. And we offer ourselves afresh to him. And we say that we have come to worship him, the one who is born King of the Jews, and who, God willing, is Lord of our lives. Let's be still for a moment as we seek him afresh today. And so, God our Father, in the midst of our lives, and you know us all completely, you know our muddles, our concerns, our fears, we pray that you would come and be with us, Lord Christ Jesus, and lead us in the way that we need to go this year, this day, and forevermore. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.